How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This episode of Eurotrip is brought to you by the new Malmö Hagen Eurovision pre-party, coming to you live from Copenhagen on Saturday the 4th of May.
Taking place only a bridge away from this year's host city, the event will be the ultimate warm-up show to a huge week of Eurovision action.
Join Eurovision winner Emily DeForest, the class of 2024, live Euroclub DJs and other iconic stars for 10 hours of fun and games, including a quiz and karaoke contest on the festival stage and the pre-show Scandinavian songbook on the main LED stage.
And unique to the existing pre-party tour, you'll also be able to vote for your 2024 winner live before partying the night away until 5 a.m.
You can find out more and book your tickets via the link in the description for today's episode, or head to billetto.dk, that's billetto.dk, and search for Malmö Hagen.
The Eurotrip, when I read that, I was immediately thinking of the movie. Do you know the movie?
Hi, I'm Leanne.
Hello, Leanne. Leanne, are you a Eurotrip podcast listener?
I am, yes. I should say, I met some Eurotrip fans here. I was chatting with people outside the entrance, and they said, oh, are you Bella Kvist? And I said, yeah. I know you're from the Eurotrip.
What did you have for breakfast?
It was last night. I did not have a kebab for breakfast.
Queen Laureen, Eurovision winner. Did you ever think you would be back here again?
I get goosebumps. No way!
Martin Osterdahl, Executive Supervisor of the Eurovision Song Contest. Welcome to the Eurotrip.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, I think it is, right?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another brand new episode of the Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast, with me, Rob.
Me, James.
And today, we are joined by another of the class of 2024. James, we're off to Cyprus, although not really. We're off to Athens via Australia.
And via LA as well, because that is where Celia Kapsis is rehearsing for Eurovision 2024. She is representing Cyprus, but she was born in Australia, her mother is from Greece, and her father is from Cyprus. Does that all make sense?
I think so. The most important headline of all of that information is she is representing Cyprus in Malmö, and she's on the podcast today.
She is indeed, and she's doing that all at the grand age of just 17. I mean, what were you doing at the age of 17? It makes you feel old, doesn't it?
I think TVs were still in black and white when I was 17. I honestly can't remember. That feels like a lifetime ago. But one thing I wasn't doing was representing my country at the Eurovision Song Contest. So lovely to hear from her. She's on the podcast a little bit later on. But James, it's a busy, busy one today. Of course, semi-final running orders, they've dropped this week. But also, we are heading back to the Euro Fan Cafe for another march to Malmö.
And also, imagine going through Eurovision National Final season without hearing a single song and then listening to all of the chosen entries all in one go. Well, somebody has done just that and we'll be finding out what it was like from them on the podcast today.
So we've got all that and more still to come. You're listening on Acast, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This is the Eurotrip. So yeah, welcome aboard. Welcome everybody. And James, the Eurovision Song Contest of 2024 gets ever closer. At the time that we are recording, or rather on the day of release. That makes it easier for everybody, doesn't it? How many days until the grand final of the Eurovision Song Contest?
I'm not going to tell you, only because in my chat with Celia Capsis, we reference the countdown. So I will leave it to me and Celia a little bit later on.
Okay, no, that works for me. Provided we still get the countdown in some form, James, that is absolutely fine.
Well, we'll see about that.
Okay, well, stay tuned for that. A plea from me at the start of today's episode, by the way. I know James says it every single week, but if you have yet to, it would be lovely if those of you listening would give us a rating and a review wherever you're listening. Really helps other people find the podcast, but also gives us a really nice little boost if we see a nice review or a rating from any of you out there that are enjoying what we're doing. You can do it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, loads of other places as well. So if you do enjoy what we're doing, then please do leave us a rating and a review, and we'd like you very much. And as I've threatened in the past, if we see you in Malmö, we might give you a nice big hug.
Which is a threat. nothing other than just a threat from you.
I mean, if you want to leave a review so that I won't give you a hug in Malmö, that is also fine.
Now, thanks to everyone who's been in touch with us over the last 7 days or so. Thanks to David, who chipped in a few pounds and bought us a few coffees over at buymeacoffee.com/Eurotrip podcast. David said, enjoy the coffees. Thank you for all your hard work you put into the podcast throughout
Does David think they're actual coffees? Does David think we get a delivery of coffee with every coffee bought?
Do we not? I thought that was part of the deal.
I mean, if we do, you've been waiting a while, haven't you, for those coffees
turn
up?
I've not been getting them. Have you been getting them?
I've been high on caffeine since early September.
Well, David said, thanks for all the hard work you put at the podcast throughout the year. And I'm looking forward to all your news and gossip for all the Eurovision season, including your daily episodes in May, so that Glasgow will feel like being in Malmö. Yes, of course, we know plenty of you will not be out in Sweden this year. You'll be watching Eurovision from home, but we will hopefully bring you as close as we possibly can.
Yes, no, we will certainly do our best to bring Malmö closer to you wherever you are. If you're listening to our daily episodes from Malmö in Malmö, then that's great too. Maybe you're listening in your hotel room or wherever you're staying. But if you are listening to our daily episodes from Malmö at home, then yeah, as David said there, hopefully we will do our best to bring you closer to Eurovision 2024.
Yes. Last week we were talking about countries who had never opened the grand final of the Eurovision Song Contest. Again, something we did, which I don't know exactly where it came from.
The end result, though, wasn't it, is you got your massive whopper of a spreadsheet out again, and we discovered that Germany haven't opened for ages. Germany haven't opened since the 70s, was that right? 1972, I think you said.
Well remembered, yes. They opened in 1972 and they finished third. So I reeled off the list after looking at the spreadsheet of the countries who have never opened the grand final, which prompted Colin to get in touch via email, hello@eurotrippodcast.com. He said, hi, James and Rob. Great podcast this week, as always. I love looking at running orders and your chat about countries that have never opened the grand final fascinated me. So I decided to look at the countries that have never closed a grand final.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, there are also 11 of those. So for all you fact lovers out there, they are Albania, Australia, Azerbaijan, Croatia, Cyprus, Czechia, Latvia, Malta, Poland, Serbia, and Ukraine.
Will one of them close in 2024?
Colin went on to say, interestingly, the country that has closed the contest the most times is Italy, an incredible 7 times, despite their absence between 1997 and then, of course, their return in 2011. He says, keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you very much, Colin. Really, really appreciate that. If any of you listening have got any fun Eurovision stats, a little bit like that you'd like to share with us, then please do get in touch. And James, if anybody wants to get in touch and get their message read out on the podcast, how do they do it?
We are at Eurotrip Podcast on social, so on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can, of course, email us hello@eurotrippodcast.com and you can also buy us a coffee as well on buymeacoffee.com/Eurotrip Podcast.
So then it is time for all of the latest news from the world of the Eurovision Song Contest. Not a huge amount of news because, as I said on last week's episode, we are in that hinterland period between pre-party season kicking off, national final season has come to an end. However, of course, James, pre-party season starts this week. We have the first pre-party in Madrid later in the week, and then another in Barcelona. And then before we know it, it'll be the London pre-party, which I know many of you listening to this will be heading to as well.
Yeah, plenty more parties in there as well. I feel like pre-party season begins to expand every year, doesn't it?
Yeah, do you want the full list? I've got the list if you want it.
Go on.
Well, I mean, if any of you are listening to this and are going to every single one, fair play. Pre-party season this year consists of the pre-party in Madrid, then we go to Barcelona, then we go to London, then the following weekend, so this is the weekend of the 13th and 14th of April, we have a Eurovision concert, of course, in Amsterdam, and then that is followed by the Nordic Eurovision party in Stockholm, then we have Eurovision night in Oslo, and then James, finally, of course, on the 4th of May, we'll be there in Copenhagen for Malmöhagen.
Yes, indeed. Very, very exciting. And it's really interesting, isn't it, that pre-party season is becoming a really important part of that Eurovision calendar. I mean, the pre-parties have been around for a good decade or more, haven't they? But they seem to be growing in number, growing in importance, and how many artists are actually choosing to go to them all.
I think the size and scale of some of them as well, like the London Eurovision party, for example, as well, and Eurovision in concert, they are massive. They're basically Eurovision in scale. I mean, it feels like Eurovision in concert and the London Eurovision party bigger than Eurovision itself now. The number of artists and acts that are announced as taking part. But yeah, it's a huge part of the promotional story, isn't it, for each country as they want to get themselves ready and start building the narrative behind their act as we head towards the competition. So very exciting. If you are heading to some pre-parties, do let us know. James, going to let everyone in on a little secret. We are recording today's episode before the draw was made for the semi-finals. So at the time that you are listening to this, you will know who is opening, who is closing, and who is performing where in the first and second semi-finals of Eurovision 2024. But we don't. So, James, do you want to do a quick prediction who you think is opening and closing? Because we don't know, but people will know by the time they're listening to this.
And it will probably prove that we are recording beforehand, because obviously at least one of us is going to be horrendously wrong with our guesses. Yeah, I'm going to go for Cyprus to open and Luxembourg to close semi one, and then Malta to open semi two with Belgium to close.
All right. Well, I think Lithuania are going to open semi one. I think Finland are going to close. And then in semi two, I think Austria are going to open. And then I think the Netherlands are going to close. So everything we've said there is completely different, I think.
Completely different. And I'm going to get my excuses in already. You can probably tell by the sound of my voice, I am a little under the weather this week. So I'm going to blame that on whether or not I am wrong.
What a terrible excuse. You can't look at a list of countries and put them in a specific order based on the fact that you've got a bit of a sniffle. What a waste of time you are, honestly. That's not true. We are very, very thankful for your spreadsheet every single week. And you, obviously, not just the spreadsheet. It's nice that you're here.
Anyway, do you want to swiftly move on?
Yeah, indeed. Well, if I am thinking of replacing James on this podcast, the next person in line, maybe Kyle. Now, Kyle is one of our listeners here on the podcast. You might remember he was part of our Eurovision fan panel that we did on the podcast last year, where we got a few of you listeners on to give your predictions about what might happen at then, of course, in Liverpool for Eurovision 2023. Maybe we'll do something similar in the run-up to Malmö. Well, Kyle joined us on that, and he shocked us all by revealing that he had not listened to any of the songs of that year throughout national final season and then listened to them all in one go. So we got through the entirety of selection season without listening to a single song and then sat down and listened to them all once all of the songs had been released. Well, James, Kyle has done the same thing in 2024.
Not something I could do, honestly. How can you just step back from it all? I just don't understand.
It'd be an easy life, wouldn't it? I mean, especially for the podcast. The podcast wouldn't be particularly relevant, though. Can you imagine if next year, for example, me and you decided we weren't actually going to listen to anything, but we'd still do the podcast?
Yeah, but my life would be so much more laid back. Blimey, could you imagine?
Well, anyway, Carl has done the same thing this year, and he got in touch with us on email to give us his predictions. But I thought, why don't we get Kyle on and he can share them with you? So yeah, Kyle had not heard any of the songs for Eurovision 2024 until he sat down and listened to them the other day. So we thought we'd get him on the podcast. Here's what he told me when we spoke a little bit earlier on. Well, Kyle, welcome back to the Eurotrip.
Thank you very much for having me again.
Kyle, we've just given you the big build-up. We mentioned that you were, of course, part of our listener panel last year, and we have already said that you have managed to get through the entirety of the 2024 national final season without listening to any of the songs. You did the same thing last year as well, of course. I think you've done it in previous years as well?
Yes, I've done it for a couple of years in great difficulty.
Well, talk to me about that. How hard does it become?
I mean, I still try and follow the Eurovision news as we build up to it, so I remember my reason for starting in the first place was because I wanted to have an objective view of all the songs when I listen to them, because I've had it before where songs will be in the national finals, they lose, and then I don't like the song that enters. And I felt over the years that it just feels better this way. I just wait and then hear them all and enjoy them. And then I'll go back over some of the national selections and then listen to some of the songs that I wanted to listen to.
You did tell me just before I hit record that there is one exception to your rule.
Yes. Well, two kind of. So one is I will watch Melfest because I just don't want to miss Melfest. Who doesn't? and the other one is the UK because it's the UK, of course. Those are my two exceptions and sort of my warm up into Eurovision. But once I know that all the songs are out, then the rest come.
How does it work when you have your listening session? Do you get snacks in? Like, how does it work? Because it must be quite a long session to listen to all 37 this year.
It definitely is. I tend to get my family and friends involved. It's always been different people over the years. But yeah, we'll normally get a couple of snacks. It will probably last around 2 to 3 hours to get through all of them. And most of the songs we don't even listen to the whole way through in case we've sort of had enough. But I got some people involved this year, my friends, and they hadn't even heard the UK song either. So I was just sort of talking them through it. But they always seem to really enjoy it, actually.
Well, this is fascinating. So as we've already told everyone, you emailed us last week to say, well, over the weekend, actually, to say that obviously you're part of the listener panel last year and you've done the same thing again this year in terms of, as you've just told us all, you waited and then you listened to the songs all in one go. So obviously, everyone now listening to this is thinking, well, what were the results of this listening session? What did you come up with? So if we start with the semi-finals, we're going to do a shock non-qualifier or shock non-qualifiers and then shock qualifiers. So you're shock non-qualifiers from your listening session.
I thought Serbia would be a shock non-qualifier. And I really like it. I have it as like an easy qualifier for myself. But I did think that it would be very subdued, and we've got quite a loud year. There's lots of like different languages, lots of different cultures going on.
And then, Kyle, you've got another one here, another shock NQ, and they are the person that's joining us on the podcast this week. So, I mean, I don't know if Celia Capsis is listening to the episode, but if she is, you've got some bad news for her.
I do. I mean, I think some of us have a lot of high expectations for Cyprus. I think we've had a lot of brilliant bangers from them, and they've sometimes been quite inventive or at least a little bit trendy. This one feels a bit too throwbacky, and I'm not sure if it's quite wow enough to grab some votes. We've got a lot of bangers in both semi-finals, to be honest, and yeah, I'm just worried that this is not enough voting power for this. I think a lot of people like it. It does sit somewhere in the middle of the table for me, but yeah, I don't know if it's everyone. It's going to be a lot of people's favourites.
Still very excited to hear it in the Euro Club, Carl. I'll tell you that.
Oh, so. I'm sure. Yeah. Sure. I mean, she's going to perform it very well. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know there'll be some top choreography involved in that, I'm sure, as well.
Definitely.
If we move then on to, you know, we've done a couple of your shock and cues there. You then centre through your shock qualifiers. Who do you think are going to sneak through to the final?
See, I think Malta could qualify. And I don't think everybody's checking for Malta as much this year. But she does have a very catchy song. It can be a bit copycat in places, but at the same time, she could probably wow us on stage with some very powerful vocals, a lot of performances on stage. I mean, it's the Eurovision fandom. They love a good choreography kind of performance, and I think she's definitely going to give us that. Potentially a dark horse to qualify.
But now we're really going to get into this, Carl, because you've given us who you think's going to win the jury vote, who you think's going to win the public vote, and who you think's going to win Eurovision 2024. So winning the jury vote.
I have this as Switzerland, but I think it could be very close because I don't think we're going to get a one-sided jury vote like we did last year. I think Italy could challenge for the jury vote as well. I would say it's between them two, but I want to give it to Switzerland, provided that it is incredible on stage.
And then winning the public vote?
Croatia. I honestly can't. I don't think I could see any other way. It surely must be Croatia. It's got the right amount of fun and crazy, but I think it's got so much non-Eurovision appeal that I think it will almost have a cardio effect. Probably not to that degree, but I think it's got all the right ingredients to be a televote winner for sure.
Okay, so we're imagining it now. We've got the split screen at the end, if the split screen was jury winner, televote winner, which it isn't yet. Maybe SVC will change it. But your your jury winner is Switzerland. Your public winner is Croatia. Carl, who is winning Eurovision 2024?
Croatia. And on the basis of the jury vote, I expect to be split across. I expect the votes to be sort of divided across. So like, the overall winner, I think, might be Switzerland for the jury, but I think it'll be quite close between Italy and possibly Belgium. But Croatia, I expect to have a much higher gap in terms of the televote, for sure.
This is genuinely fascinating. I mean, Carl, thank you so much for running us through that, because as we said, it's such a unique perspective you can offer to the songs, that the fact that you've not listened to any of them and then listened to them all after they'd all been released, you didn't have any of those other biases in there. But I'm just going to leave you with this one thing that you said in the email. You said that you think it's really unpredictable, which makes it really exciting. It really does feel like this year, doesn't it? There's no runaway winner.
Yeah, I think a lot of us expected Sweden and Finland to be the top two last year, and that really ended up being the case. But yeah, this year just, I feel like it's wide open. Like, I know Croatia are leading in the odds, but not by very much at all. It's all going to come down to how they perform on the stage.
Very, very exciting. Oh, well, Carl, thank you so much for getting in touch in the first place. Thank you for joining us and thank you for listening to the podcast.
No problem. Thank you for having me again.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to The Eurotrip,
the world's favorite Eurovision podcast.
Welcome back to the Eurotrip. Thanks so much for joining us this week. We were chatting before we pressed record, by the way, and not many episodes to go until we are actually out there. The panic on Rob's face as I said that, as if that's news. That's not news, we've just been talking about it.
No, I was about to take a drink because I thought, you know, James will take this for a little while. I'll have time to sip from my water bottle. And then you said the phrase, we were talking before the podcast. And I was like, what's he going to say? Because we talked about all sorts of stuff before we started recording. I was like, which bit of drama and gossip is he going to reveal? Thankfully, no, that's fine. Yeah, not long at all to go. We worked out, including this one, 5 episodes left until Malmö. 5 regular episodes left.
Including this one. No, 6.
Is it including this one at 6? Is it?
Well, we say we discussed it. Clearly, we didn't come to an answer.
Well, hold on. So basically, love an on-air production meeting on this podcast. I'm here today, obviously. I'm also here next week, and then I'm off for 2 weeks. I'm off to Iceland on my honeymoon. So I won't be here with you for the middle 2 weeks of April. So then by the time I come back, we've got another 2, and then we're in Malmö. So yeah, it's 6, isn't it, including this one?
6, including this one. Anyway, I want to do, yet again, Eurovision Songs in the Wild.
I love Eurovision Songs in the Wild. You love Eurovision Songs in the Wild. I don't think we will ever stop doing Eurovision Songs in the Wild because the contributions from you keep flooding in of weird and wonderful places you have heard a Eurovision song when you've least expected it.
Let me read this message out from Matt. I think Matt emailed us to say, hope you're well. I've just heard this year's French entry, Mon Amour, in a tea shop in Luxembourg. And also yesterday in a 70s-esque Luxembourgish supermarket as well. They love it here.
What's a 70s-esque Luxembourgish supermarket? You can just buy some really big moustaches and stuff. There's a whole aisle dedicated to detective dramas.
I simply don't know. I don't know the answer, I'm afraid, but Matt...
I mean, the 70s was about 100 years ago for you.
Well, exactly. So, no idea.
I enjoy that very much. Anyway, I would like to make a pilgrimage to a 70s-esque Luxembourgish supermarket sometime soon. Kira has also been in touch. Now, you might remember a few weeks ago, we mentioned Kira and Mark's wedding here on the podcast. So, Kira and Mark, listeners to the Eurotrip podcast, they got married a few weeks ago. Then they went on honeymoon. Well, they had a Eurovision-themed wedding, which we spoke about here on the podcast. Anyway, Kira has been back in touch. She said on our Instagram, a quick message to say thanks again for another wedding shout out and loved all the spin-off stories that have come from the other listeners afterwards. Absolutely. She said she's really enjoying the march to Malmö. But then she said, we encountered a Eurovision song in the wild on our travels in Australia this month, in case you're interested. Kira, we are very interested. So yeah, James, let me take you to Australia. We were in a small winery about an hour and a half away from Melbourne. And amidst the playlist of typical summer pop songs, we couldn't believe our ears when we heard, this is odd, Sentimentai by Monica Lu, Lithuania 2022, bursting out through the speakers.
Not what you'd expect to hear, not at all. This is the joy of Eurovision Songs in the Wild. Great story. And one more as well from Stuart. Who said, I'm so glad you're sticking with your Eurovision Songs in the Wild feature, as I have saved up a few to share. He has indeed. He sent 3 in-depth stories. I'm going to read one today, and I'm going to save the other 2 for the next couple of weeks. But this one says, a few years ago, while on holiday in Sunny Beach in Bulgaria, I was sitting poolside during the hotel's aqua aerobic session one morning, when I was astonished.
I bet you were. I bet you were.
When I was astonished to hear the opening bars of Greece 2018.
Is that on Airy Moo?
Yes. Very well done. It didn't last long, as it was cut short abruptly and replaced by the unmistakable sound of Eleni Ferreira and her entry from the same year. Fuego was probably a more energetic choice for morning exercises.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I can't really imagine Greece 2018 as a aqua aerobics song.
A nice warm-up, perhaps. A nice warm-up.
Maybe a little bit of a warm-up. Absolutely love Eurovision Songs in the Wild. Thank you, everybody, for getting in touch. Really, really appreciate it. And yeah, feel free to keep them flooding in on email, hello@eurotrippodcast.com, socials, @eurotrippodcast on Twitter and Instagram and Threads as well. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Now then, of course, Celia Capsis is on the way, but we've still got to do this.
It's popping off on the podcast today. Honestly, it's like being in the Euro Club with everything that's going on this episode. It is time for the third edition of the March to Malmö, where we are attempting to find out a little bit more about this year's Eurovision host city. We do every single year. We get a little lesson in the city itself, but also about the language, the words that are spoken by the native speakers that might become useful for us when we are over there in Malmö for Eurovision. James, we've got a returner on the March to Malmö today.
Do we now?
Absolutely. So, last week, we told you all about our very exciting event, of course. The Eurotrip Live is coming to Malmö on Thursday, the 9th of May. So you can come and watch us with a special live episode of the podcast. We're going to be joined by some brilliant guests. It's going to be on Thursday, the 9th of May in the Eurofan Cafe. Now, time and more specific details are to be confirmed, so please do just keep your eye out across our socials, but also keep listening to the podcast when we'll have some more details. But last week, we spoke to the man behind the Eurofan Cafe. He is Rick Jacobs. And at the time in which we were talking to Rick last week, he couldn't tell us about many of their exciting events happening at Eurofan Cafe because there was an embargo. So an embargo means we just couldn't talk about it. He told us all about a very exciting Eurovision quiz, but it couldn't tell us about anything else. Well, James, I've got some exciting news. The embargo has been lifted.
Party poppers are going off across the land.
So anyway, I thought we'd get Rick back on the podcast to tell us a bit more about the exciting programme happening down at the Eurovision Fan Cafe, or the Euro Fan Cafe, to give it its official title. Obviously, none of these things are as exciting as our event that's happening. Just to reiterate once again, on 9th of May, Thursday the 9th of May, that is. I jest, of course, these events all very exciting. So anyway, here is Rick Jacobs from the Eurofan Cafe. He's back. And don't worry, James, he also gives us a Swedish word a bit later on as well. Actually, not one, but two. Rick, welcome back to the March to Malmö.
Oh my God, I never thought I would be, I would appear twice on your podcast. That's fantastic.
Well, it's brilliant to have you on. Just a reminder for anyone who did not get the opportunity to hear you on last week's podcast, just remind everybody of your role in Eurovision 2024 this year and everything that's happening in Malmö.
Okay, great. I am the lead producer of Eurofan Cafe. Eurofan Cafe is a concept that we're open all day and all night. And basically, you can indulge all your Eurovision fantasies with us.
And Rick, of course, we are delighted to be part of that. We'll be heading down for the Eurotrip Live on Thursday afternoon. Time still TBC. We'll let you know when we know, of course, everyone listening to this. But yeah, we're very excited to be coming down for the Eurotrip Live on Thursday afternoon. But Rick, we wanted to get you back on because when you were on last week, you couldn't reveal too much because you were waiting to...
I know, it was a deep industry secret.
Yeah, you were waiting to release all of the gossip into the ether and out into the public so that people could find out what was happening down at Eurofan Cafe. So now that information is public, we thought we'd get you back on to find out more. You did a brilliant sell last week of the best Eurovision quiz I've ever heard, which is happening, I think, on Monday night. That's correct?
That's right, Monday the 6th.
So what else is there? What else is on the programme that people can look forward to at Eurofan Cafe? And I think it's also important, Rick, as well, isn't it, to reiterate to everybody that some of this stuff is free.
Yeah, we are actually open from either 11 or 12 every day. We have four different spaces at Morskan, three inside and one outside. For a majority of the day, the outside space, which is like our garden space, and it seats about 800 people, and also our bistro, which functions as a restaurant most of the year, that will be open for the public. So if you don't have a wristband, if you haven't bought a festival pass or a day ticket, you could just pop in and see what we're up to. Also, we're right in the middle of Eurovision Village, which is completely unplanned, but works very well for our advantage. So there will be a lot of people wandering around the park, and everyone is welcome to come in during the day. For most of the events that we have, they will be ticketed. You can either buy a day ticket, which will go on sale at the beginning of April, or a 10-day pass. The prices are still reasonable. We're not more expensive than Euroclub or any other events in town. And our beer is cheap and our coffee is not so expensive. So, I mean, granted, by Swedish standards, okay, if you come from Southern Europe, you're going to be screaming at the prices. But it's cheap for cheap compared to other things in Sweden. In our four spaces, we have in our smallest space, we can have about 150 people in there. In our medium sized space, we can have about 400 standing if it's a nightclub and around 200 seated. In our largest space, we can have about 1,000 people standing and maybe 400, 450 seated. And our outdoor space, 800 people. So we have a total capacity of 2,300 if all our spaces are open, which is brilliant. That's really, really, really gives us a lot of room to move.
So Rick, you've mentioned obviously all the spaces that are available for anyone that comes down. And that means that you can put on a whole host of different events. So give us a little bit more detail, because presumably there really is going to be something for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If I talk about some of our bigger events, besides the quiz, which we're doing on Monday the 6th, we are having in our big space, we're doing a concert called Reykjavik Calling. And this came out of the fact that I've never really seen Icelandic artists honored in a way that shows their huge Eurovision history. So I've booked four huge artists from past Eurovisions, and also I'll give you a hint, the current 2024 Eurovision. Take that as you will. And they're going to put on the most unbelievable concert. I'm so excited. I've spoken to both the artists and their managers, and we're really planning a giant event. That'll be on Thursday after the semifinal. So it'll start quite late, around midnight, 12:15, but it gives you a chance, if you're at the arena, to come down to Morskan. And like I said last week, we're literally a three-minute train ride from the arena and then a 10-minute walk from the train station. So we're easy to get to right after the show.
So, Rick, people could potentially, if they want to hang around in the Euro Fan Cafe for that long, they could come down for the Euro Trip Live and then stick around for the concert in the evening if they've got the right ticket.
Not only that, we're planning on screening the semifinals. So
perfect.
Yeah, so you could literally be there for the podcast, have some dinner, watch the semifinal, and then stick around for a live concert at 12 in the morning. So that's a good one. We're doing something that is kind of gaining steam in Europe a little bit, but is quite popular in the US. And it's an event called Bandioki. And it's basically singing karaoke, but with a live band. And we have a host for the evening who, with the idea of Bandioki, is to make it like a kind of fun and a little bit sleazy, maybe a little queer rock club. Some other big events I'm excited about. We're doing for the first time, we're doing a Eurovision Unplugged concert. So we're taking the artists that are a little more serious musicians or have a longer career, and they're going to perform an acoustic concert.
And then, Rick, I know there's one more event that you absolutely want to tell everyone about.
We're ending the whole Eurovision week on Saturday with what's called a Eurovision Ball. And if you've seen the TV series Pose, or you've watched the movie Paris is Burning, we're going to be having an event that's going to be a lot of underground entertainers, both locally and internationally, that we're bringing over to basically work it on the runway. You know, it's going to be totally unexpected. I still don't quite know what we're doing. We're still working out the details, but we really want to, if you're in the club after the final and you're in Euro Fan Cafe, you're going to get the spectacle of a lifetime. We're really going for it. So that's really good. If you know those shows, you know what you're going to get. If you don't know those shows, you're going to be in for a big surprise.
And if people do want to find out a bit more information, Rick, where can they go?
Okay, on the Morskan website, they are selling the tickets there. We're going to put the program on there shortly. On Instagram, we're under Eurofan Cafe. Facebook, the same. Just search for Eurofan Cafe. We'll have a YouTube channel where we're going to start posting videos soon. Again, same thing, Eurofan Cafe. And if you type in eurofancafe.com, you will be able to get forwarded to all our events and ticket sales. So we're trying to make it pretty easy to find.
Well, Rick, we can't get you on again for another week without getting another Swedish word from you, because that is, of course, what people expect from the March to Malmö. What is another Swedish word or indeed phrase that would be helpful for people to know if they're heading to Sweden for Eurovision this year?
Is it okay to give you two words, like two words together?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine.
All right. I would say a good word, two good words to know are havremjölk. Havremjölk. Havre is the word for oats in Swedish, and mjölk is the word for milk, and basically just translates as oat milk. It's very, very popular here. So everywhere you go, when you go get a fika, when you go get it like a cake and a coffee during the day, they always offer you, do you want havremjölk? Do you want an oat milk latte? So if you have any kind of, if you don't like milk for any reason, now you know what to ask for. You could say latte med with havremjölk. They'll know exactly what you're going to get.
Love it. And it just sounds so much better in Swedish than just oat milk. So hold on, Rick, let me give it a go. It's a havremjölk?
Yeah, I think so. I think the O is not, it's more sound. So it's mjölk, like that.
So havremjölk.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. At least I know what to order. At least I now know what to order.
You'll find that everywhere. You'll find it all over Mama. Everybody's got it.
Oh, Rick, as ever, thank you so much for chatting to us. And I'm sure that if we don't chat before, I'm sure we'll chat when we're seeing you in Malmö.
Absolutely. And to everyone listening, please keep in touch with us if you have any questions about your fan cafe. We're monitoring our socials very closely. So if you need to know anything or want more details, please let us know. We'll help you as much as we can.
Brilliant. Rick, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Well, there we go. Some brand new words to add to our vocabulary. I'm sure you'll be, I'm sure you'll be using that a lot. I don't think you will be, will you?
No, I like an oat milk.
You do? Well,
I'm about to sound very cosmopolitan, but I'll tell you now, James, if you've not had an oat milk mocha or an oat milk latte, you've not lived.
My life may begin in Malmö in a few weeks' time.
Can you tell which one of us lives in London and which one of us does not?
Anyway, shall we chat to another one of the class of 2024? I think so. Well, imagine representing your country at anything at the age of 17. Well, that is what Celia Capsis is about to do. She's representing Cyprus at Eurovision this year with her song Liar. And just like last year's Cypriot entry, Andrew Lambrew, Celia is actually Australian, as I'm sure you will hear from her accent in just a moment. But her parents are from Greece and Cyprus. She was announced to represent Cyprus back in September. So it has been a long time coming, it is fair to say. So let's get to it, shall we? This is what happened when I caught up with Celia Capsis earlier this week. Celia Capsis, welcome to the Eurotrip. How are you?
I'm great, James. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. It's great to chat. First of all, I want to make everybody, including me, feel really old because, of course, you are still very young. So
yeah.
What is your earliest Eurovision memory?
Well, my earliest that I remember, I've probably seen more, obviously, is Eleni Foureira's year, which was 2018, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
That was my earliest one that I remember, and it was my favourite one by far because, you know, Eleni Foureira representing Cyprus, she's amazing. Got second, incredible. And she's also my favorite act. So that was actually my first time me remembering watching Eurovision, which was amazing.
So yes, it does make us feel old because that was, 2018, and you would have been, 11, 12 years old at the time?
Yeah, 11. Yeah.
Wow. How does it feel being so young and being able to perform at the Eurovision Song Contest? That's mental, isn't it?
It's crazy. No, it is. It's a huge opportunity, especially for my age. I still can't believe it. But for me, I've been doing things since I was 3 years old, and it's just been part of my life. And I think this is just something that, you know, is obviously a huge opportunity, but something I love doing. It's something I've been doing all my life. Like, I was born to do it. So I just find it exciting, and I'm just really excited to get on that stage and, you know, perform. I'm just there to enjoy it and do my best and smash it. So yeah.
And we can tell you're excited. Like, even now, still a few weeks away, the energy is really high. And when you saw Eleni Foureira a few years ago, did you ever think, oh, I'd love to do that? That looks so good.
I'll tell you a story just really quickly. It's just such a coincidence. When we were watching Eleni Foureira, whenever she popped on the TV or whatever, it was between her and the other girl who won from Israel. And I actually stood up and I was dancing next to her. I had like the little remote in my hand pretending it's a microphone. I was dancing next to the TV and I was like doing, you know, fuego, all that, all her little, you know, hair movements and everything. And my grandma was watching me. She was laughing and she, you know, she was enjoying it. She goes, Celia, one day you'll be on that stage. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm like, yeah, for you, yeah, for you, I'll do it. I'll be on that stage, whatever. And then I'm literally representing Cyprus and going to Eurovision at 17 years old. It's just crazy. I'm just, yeah, it was, it's amazing.
What a great story. Like in such a short period of time as well. You know, sometimes people have those stories where it's like 10, 20, 30 years later, it finally happens. But for you, it's like 6 years and it finally happens. Take us back to the moment you were asked to represent Cyprus then. So we all found out in September, which is very early, I guess, to find out. Yeah. When did you find out?
I didn't really know what was happening. That I wasn't, they weren't telling me anything. Like I kind of found out in September as well. So, well, I came here to Greece and for like holidays, because we come usually all the time, and because my mum was, you know, from Greek and whatever. But and then we recorded Liar, and they were like, okay, so we might use this for a project. You might be used in a project or whatever, maybe Eurovision, maybe something else, whatever. And we didn't like actually know if I was going to represent Cyprus or Greece or Australia or anyone, or even be in Eurovision in the start. And then we also found out in September, 2 days later before I came out.
Really?
So yeah, I didn't really know. It was a 50-50 chance. So when it came out and everyone was surprised, I was surprised as well. So
yeah. So where were you then? Where were you when they broke the news to you?
I was at home. It was very late at night. It was about like, you know, 1 a.m. or something, and I was just ready. You know, I was going to bed and everything fine. And then my mum starts running into my room, and I thought something was wrong. I was like, "What's everything okay?" She's like screaming. She's like, "Celia, you got Eurovision. You're representing Cyprus this year. I mean, next year." Woo! I was like, "Are you serious? How do you expect me to sleep after me getting this information?" Like, I did not. I called my family group chat. They were all awake. We talked about it. I hope some of them are coming, so it will be good. But it was just such an amazing moment, and I will remember that moment for the rest of my life. So yeah.
So did you actually sleep that night, or were you just awake all night?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I was texting my friends. I was like going on Instagram, whatever. But yeah, no, I didn't. Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun. We've got to talk about the song. Of course, you've already mentioned recording it. When you first heard it, like, I don't know if you heard a demo or if you heard a snippet of the instrumental. Like, when you first heard some of it, what were your initial thoughts?
When we actually listened to three songs before me choosing which one, and obviously Liar stood out to me, the meaning and, you know, how boppy the song was and how fun and, like, dancey it was. So we picked that, and it was a demo, yes. We changed the lyrics a bit, re-recorded it to obviously my voice, and it sounded a lot different, because obviously two different voices. And but I love the message of the song is a huge part of it as well, because yes, it's upbeat, it's fun, which is, well, I'm a dancer and I love all that type of, you know, music, pop, R&B, all that stuff. So that's what stood out to me. But the message as well, like not it being about a person, like not someone being a liar, but kind of like a world of like, how do I explain?
Just a world of lies, isn't it?
Like, you're not living in the truth. Then, you know, like stereotypes and social media and sexualism and body shaming and all that, all those, you know, stereotypes that we live in this generation. And this song is kind of like about breaking free out of those stereotypes and, like, you know, expressing the truth. So I guess that's why I really liked it as well, and it had a message, and I think that will show in the, you know, in my performance. So but I love it. It's dancey, it's poppy, and it makes me want to, you know, get up and dance, which I hope it does with everyone else. So yeah.
You mentioned before, of course, you're a dancer as well. That means we are surely going to get some sort of dance routine in the performance.
Well, yes, of course, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. it's gonna happen one way or another. It's coming. It's happening throughout the whole song as well. So it's not. It's like a non-stop thing. So it's great.
Does that mean you're going to have like a Britney Spears style microphone, like from your ear to your mouth, or what's the plan?
I was thinking about that, but I was like, you know what? I think it's more like cool and impressive to hold a microphone while dancing. I think I'm going to hold the microphone.
Okay, that's good. Have you been like rehearsing since September then? When did you first step into the rehearsal studio to rehearse the routine and everything you've got planned for Sweden?
So we went to Los Angeles to rehearse the routine, to create the routine, which was in January, with, you know, my choreographers, Guy Groove and Kelly Sweeney, which I've known for a long time. I've known Guy Groove since I was like 9 years old. So we're close and, you know, they did an amazing job and I'm just so excited to share it and show everyone. So we started in January. We came to Greece and, you know, filmed the music video in Cyprus and, you know, did media there. But then we started rehearsals last month, I think, and we're doing rehearsals nearly every day. So just like rehearsing the dance and the singing and dancing at the same time and running on treadmills and doing this and this and this. So it's a lot. It's a lot of work.
It's everything.
Yeah. It's not easy, but, you know, we're getting there and, you know, it's improving and it's going to be great.
And you've caught up with Andrew Lambrew as well, fellow Aussie, fellow Cypriot representative. You've caught up with him recently. What was it like to get some, did you get some words of wisdom from him?
Yeah. Well, I caught up with him in Australia and then he came to Cyprus when we both came to Cyprus to perform together. And he was great. No, he's great. He's like a big brother to me. It's amazing. It's like, you never know. We could be related. Like it's crazy how close we are. We live 5 minutes away from each other. And no, he's great. He's like a big brother. He just gives me, you know, advice and tips and how I, you know, don't feel stressed, be yourself. You're representing a country. This is about you to show, you know, who you are and, you know, not to take negative energy and all those little tips and tricks. And he obviously talked about how Eurovision works and what's going to happen and rehearsals and everything that will happen. And no, he's great. He really helped me. He gave me the best advice. I could not have asked for better. So, yeah.
And do you feel ready?
Yes. Yes, we feel ready. I feel ready. I just want it to be now. Like, why is there a whole month? Why is there a whole month until May? I'm like, ugh.
It'll be here before you know it. It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah. Like 40-something days, I think.
It is 40-something days, yeah. We should have an official countdown somewhere. Like, wherever we look, there's always an official countdown.
I'm going to make one. I've got, like, my little countdown on my laptop when it happens.
That is a good idea. That is a good idea. Are you giving yourself any like downtime one day a week or anything to try and like stay grounded and stay like to try and live a normal life without Eurovision just fully taking over?
Look, I've also got school on my hands. So I have to, you know, make time to, you know, do online school and do all my subjects and hand things in on time and attend lessons. So it's another little difficult thing that I've got going on in my life. But that's like, there's like a day where I just dedicate myself to school. And then, you know, me and mum sometimes go out for walks. I go to the gym quite often now, you know, to get stamina up. So, kind of.
And finally, last one from me. What do you hope will happen in Malmö? Like, of course, you want to go there and you want to win, of course. But like, apart from that, What are you expecting? What do you want to happen?
So, yes, of course, everyone would like to win. But for me, that's not what my prize possession is. My view on this is to make my country proud. That is, I think, the most important thing of Eurovision. It's not about what you... Okay, it is about what you placed, but it's not the full meaning of it. It's about representing your country and making them proud and them like, you know, saying, well, you know, she represents our country, she's amazing, whatever place she gets, you're trying her best on the stage. And yeah, if you did your best, that's all you can ask for. And if you made your country proud, then that's also all you can ask for. So I think that's what my main thing is for Eurovision, and I just really do hope I make Cyprus proud. And yeah, and Australia and Greece, because everyone.
Everyone. Yeah. Very well said. Oh, Cilia, thank you so much for your time and best of luck for Malmö this year.
Thank you so much. Thank you. See ya.
Oh, well, wasn't that lovely? She is a lot of fun. Very excited to hopefully catch up with her again in Malmö.
Yeah, she's really fun. I think with her being so young, I think she's really managing to just take this in a stride. It's like she hasn't reached adulthood yet. So like it feels like this is just what normal life is like to her. And it sounds like obviously with her young career, she's always been in show business and everything. So this is just a walk in the park for her.
You mean to say she's not managed to sort of gain that level of skepticism that we get when we get older? Is that what you're saying? She's quite positive and has quite a positive outlook on life still.
Exactly. Just you wait, Celia, for a few years' time when you start to become a cynic of the world you live in like the rest of us.
I'm sure she won't. She sounds lovely. I don't think that'll happen to her. It only happens to people like me and you. I have to say this, and I can say this because I wasn't talking to her, but I've got no shame to say. What an absolute banger. I hope Cyprus make it through to the grand final this year because that is a tune and I will be popping and a bopping to that in Malmö in May. Don't you worry about that.
Popping and a bopping. Translate that into Swedish, everyone, for our next march to Malmö. Figure out what that is. Anyway, before we wrap up, shall we do the 1 second song?
Yes, let's do it. Now, James, I understand that I do actually have the opportunity for the first time this series to take the lead today.
Well, in theory, I guess you do.
I thought this might happen. So yeah, currently the scores, if I am correct, are you 18, me 16. So with 4 points on offer, I could take the lead. It's not going to happen, is it? Basically, me and James play each other the first second of a Eurovision song every week, and one of us has to guess what that song is. Go on, you've done me dirty this week, I know you have, but I haven't had a listen yet, so shall we do it?
Let's do it. Here's this week's 1 second song.
Oh, I can picture it, but I am struggling to remember all of the important information that will mean that I can score any points.
Well, let's have it one more time to see if it does indeed help.
It's got that like Greek Cypriot vibe, doesn't it?
Does it?
Oh, I do know what this is. The minute that you tell me what it is, I'm going to be like, oh, yes, of course, it's that. But I'm really, really struggling, so it will be a bit of a stab in the dark. A fairly educated stab in the dark, I think, but oh, I don't know, actually. I can hear it in my head now, like the chorus, I think, but not like well enough. Basically, how I can hear this song now in my head is as if it's playing at a nightclub, but the nightclub is about 3 kilometres down the road.
So
I can just about make it out, but not really hear the details.
You're certainly putting this off.
I am. So to save us wasting any more time, I'm going to say it is Cyprus 2010. It's not that at all, because that's John Lily Green in the Islanders, and he's from Wales.
Rob, come on.
Yeah, that's it. There we are. There's my answer. John Lily Green in the Islanders, Cyprus 2010, and Life Looks Better in Spring. It's not. That's very clearly not the song.
Stinker. What a stinker you've had there. It was Croatia.
No, yes, I know. 2008?
No, still wrong. 2009.
I can hear the song, yeah.
It was Igor Kukrov featuring Andrea with Liepa Tena.
Bio samo black lived you. Sunca nisam vidio.
I am sad about that because I do definitely remember the song, that I don't remember the year, the country, or indeed who sung it. So that would have, regardless, rendered this fairly pointless. So, well, you keep your lead. Well done. I do feel like there were a couple of points that I could have grabbed hold of there, but I've let them slip through my fingers.
Yes, it remains at 18-16, so I have a chance to extend my lead next week.
Yes, indeed you do. My final episode until I head to, I was going to call it sunny Iceland then. I don't think Iceland is particularly sunny in April. Quite cold. Although I did book, James, you'll enjoy this. I've not told you about this yet. We booked husky sledding.
Did
you? When we're there. Yeah.
Wow, that's going to be fun.
It will be fun, and don't worry, we have researched it, and the Huskies do enjoy it. I'm led to believe it's not cruel, and they have a lovely time.
Well, that's good to know.
It is good to know. So yeah, if I do come back with any broken limbs, you'll know the Husky sledding went slightly awry, but hopefully not. But yes, yeah, next week, my final episode until I'm away for a couple of weeks.
Well, are you Husky sledding in the next 7 days or so? Well, don't worry. You can keep in touch with us while you do that. We are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. You can email us, hello@eurotrippodcast.com. You can read all of our exclusive stories as well on eurotrippodcast.com. And don't forget, you can buy us a coffee as well on buymeacoffee.com/Eurotrip Podcast. As well, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, and rate us 5 stars. We'd be forever grateful, and it helps so many other people find the podcast. And is that all I have to say? I think so, apart from goodbye.
What a way to sign off. From me, Rob, as well, it is goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.